Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity. This is a podcast, a program, a radio program, whatever you want to call it, but it is dedicated to the discussion of the Word of God, of our faith, and of New Testament Christianity. I'm Keith.
And I'm Zach.
And together we are your hosts for the most wonderful half hour of radio programming or podcasting, or you just don't have anything better to listen to.
It should be the best 30 minutes of your day, honestly.
It should.
It's the greatest program, the greatest podcast in the world, in my opinion. I mean, it's pretty good.
We're working hard to make it good, and we appreciate you listening. And we thank you for the support that you have given to us. Okay, so we've got a busy day today. We are in yet a different location. We're still trying to find our winter home, I guess you would call it.
And yep. Today we're in Keith's dorm room. I mean his office.
My office. Okay, so it does need a little tidying up.
It's nasty.
We're working on
that. I went
to
college, Keith. I know what a dorm room looks like.
But yeah, there's just a little dust and coffee stains on the desk. But
potato chips ground into the carpet.
Well, yeah, we'll get that vacuumed up.
Multiple water bottles sitting around.
I don't even know where those come from, but yeah.
Don't waste water.
Anyway,
be eco-friendly.
As it turned out, it was actually warm enough where we could have gone out to Paintsville Lake and recorded this morning.
Keith shed a tear.
But it just didn't work out that way. So here we are, and we are fully anticipating that
yep.
One of these days it will turn cold and stay cold.
So we're doing some research.
We're doing research, and you get to be in the midst of that. So jumping right into the program this morning, we want to start off with our verse of encouragement. And this is a segment that we began with the aim of not only encouraging you as our listeners, but encouraging you to mm-hmm. be an encourager to others. And so, Zach, I think today...
Pick me.
Pick you.
I've got it.
Zach, I think we're actually going to the words of the greatest encourager today, are we not?
Yes, and our verse of encouragement comes from a great chapter in the Bible. You know, one of the best. I think it may be one of your favorites.
It is. John 14.
Yep. John 14, verse 27 is our verse of encouragement today. Once again, that's John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Keith, you want to start us out?
Well, in the context of what's going on there in John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He is literally on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, mm-hmm. where he is going to be betrayed by Judas, and where ultimately he's going to be led off and tried and crucified. And Jesus knew that. He knew what was getting ready to happen. And it's absolutely amazing that in the midst of that chaos that was getting ready to ensue, mm-hmm. that he is trying to encourage his disciples and leaving with them that idea of peace, and the emphasis there in that verse, not as the world gives do I give to you. He's showing us that the concepts of peace in the world don't always match up to the concepts of peace that God has in mind for us.
And in the midst of all the chaos, like you were saying, these words are just so encouraging. And all the things that are about to happen to him, he knows they're going to happen. He's about to suffer one of the most cruel deaths the world has ever known.
Right.
Crucifixion was possibly the worst death you could suffer ever in the history of the world.
And
he knew that was about to happen.
And there are times when we kind of get in the mindset of, oh, woe is me. Poor,
yes.
Poor, pitiful me. And, because of whatever might be happening in our lives.
Yes.
And don't misunderstand me. There are some really bad things that can happen mm-hmm. to us. But when we put that in contrast to what Jesus was getting ready to endure, and what's he doing? He's pronouncing peace upon.
Right. He's not even thinking about himself in these verses.
No.
And that speaks to me the most. He's not even thinking about himself in these verses. He's trying to get his disciples ready, and he's trying to let everybody know, you know, how he feels, what he's doing for us, and why he's doing it. He's laying the groundwork.
There's so much going on here.
Oh, yeah.
in this chapter.
Yeah.
The last sentence in that verse, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's not the first time that he said something like that.
Nope.
And depending on where we get in the program today, we may talk about that some more. And,
yes.
And we may not, depending on how the time goes. John 14 and 27, that is your verse of encouragement for today. We've got a couple of topics that we're going to address today. We were going to kind of go with the four something format, but I don't know that we've got four things that we're going to talk about.
Maybe.
But,
if we progress, we might.
We're going to talk about some current events, I guess would say. If you are listening to this on Friday morning as it first airs, within 36 hours of that time or whatever, the time is going to change. Mm. And it is everybody's, you know, one of the two least favorite weekends that everybody has of the year.
Yep.
when the time changes. And, yeah, we get into the whole discussions of you know, should the time change? Should it change this way? What, you know, this, that? Nah, we're not wanting to talk about those things. But we want to remind everybody that, yes, the time does change. Fall back an hour, you get an extra hour sleep.
See, that's why this one's my favorite. I hate spring forward.
Spring forward.
Don't like that one at all.
And it seems like it just gets harder and harder the older that you get. But this one is a little bit easier to palate, but it is still still a difficult transition. But here's I want to throw these two thoughts out relative to that. Number one, it is a great time to change the batteries in your smoke alarms. And you're probably thinking, wow, that's random. But who thinks about...
He's going somewhere, guys.
Well, who thinks about the batteries in your smoke alarms? Your smoke alarms that you have in your house are a very strong right. line of defense to protect you and your family. And I would encourage you, don't just go test them. Those little 9-volt batteries aren't that expensive. Throw those out and put some new ones in. And then... forget about it until the spring when you change them out again.
And I didn't know this either. I didn't know that when the time changes, you know, it's automatic, almost like a footmark for you should change the batteries in your smoke alarm. I didn't find that out until the other day when you told me.
Yes, and it's just a great time to remember to do that and do a little maintenance around your home and keep your family and yourself safe. I don't have a spiritual application to go along with that. I just wanted to throw that reminder out to everyone. But, you know, me over here, you know, former paramedic, former volunteer fireman, little bit of public safety there that we'll talk about. But when we think about the time change, we've grown up with it. I'm not sure mm-hmm. how long it's been since the time change began. I'm wanting to say it was like back in the 40s. Oh, Zach's on his computer. He's going to find out.
See, I thought it was Ben Franklin's idea.
I don't know. But anyway, the point is it's been going on a while. In most of our lives, if not all of our lives, it's just been an established fact. We know that twice a year that the time is going to change, going forward and going backward. And, we just accept that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a novel concept. You start thinking we're manipulating time. And, we start talking about, and I'm not wanting to go all sci-fi and everything, but, you know, we
right.
start talking about different dimensions, everything, and we've got height and depth and space and then time is a dimension all its own. And here we are manipulating that fourth dimension, and it's commonplace to us. We do it, twice a year, But we don't really think about it as manipulation, as it were. All we think about is, this time next week it's going to be getting dark an hour earlier, and we get to this time of the year and it's either dark when you leave to go to work or dark when you come home. And one of my daughters in school, she complains about these winter months because she stays after school for extracurricular activities. And like last year, one week she said she went like 2 weeks and never saw the sun, something like that.
She's just living like a gremlin.
Oh yeah, because it was dark when she got to school and it was dark when she went home. And unless she walked outside to change buildings, she never saw the sun.
The days do get shorter.
They do, and we can't do anything about that. But anyway, here's the point that I really wanted to make is that sometimes, even though we don't change our clocks, we still try to manipulate time.
Yes, we do.
We try to use time to our greatest advantage. And we take advantage of that.
Yep, we put things off by using time.
Oh, we put things off.
That may have been a pretty good lead-in.
Yeah. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5 and verses 25 and 26, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And then he says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, that word redeeming means to buy back.
Mm-hmm.
What is using our time? And it seems like every week as we do these podcasts and this program, we end up talking about some kind of evaluation.
Yep.
If you did a
maybe
time,
we should make that a stagnant part of the part
I
of
think
the
it already is.
It is.
But if you evaluated your time, I mean, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, okay, I'm spending.
Like you write it down.
How much you spend on
doing everything that you do, right?
During any 24-hour period, 24-hour period's not really a fair assessment. You need to do it over a week or even 2 weeks to get a good evaluation. But, I'm spending X amount of hours in bed asleep every night. I'm spending X amount of hours at work or at school. And, and let's just say for the average person, 8 and 8 there. So that leaves you roughly 8 other hours during the day that are not automatically otherwise engaged with either sleeping or working or studying. What are you doing with those 8 hours? Where do those 8 hours go? And I know we've all had days where we're sitting there going, wow, how did it get to be 6 o'clock in the evening already, or whatever? Where did the time go?
And we've had other days too where we're like, I've only been here an hour.
That is true too. But whether you're looking at the clock saying, oh, why is this time moving so slowly? Or whether you're looking at the clock saying, where did the time go? Where did it go? And was it used as wisely as it could be?
And that's an important factor of your time. You have to make the most out of it. You have to try to affect the most lives that you can affect. You have to try to live the best life that you can live in those hours, in that time that we have on earth.
And Paul, in writing here in Ephesians 5:26 and saying, redeeming the time, buy back the time. There may be time in our lives. By the way, the word time is used within the Bible 550-something times. Yes.
Wow.
It's a very popular word within the Bible, but it's not one that we talk about an awful lot. But what time do you need to buy back? What are you doing? Where is your time going that you need to buy it back? Now, here's something that I've always found interesting. Not everybody's the same height. Not everybody looks the same. Not everybody has the same physical, mental, emotional capabilities.
Right.
Not everybody has the same amount of money. Not everybody has the same advantages or disadvantages, but it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody still has 24 hours in a day.
Yep.
That is the time is the great equalizer.
Well, yep, we vary in so many different factors, but we all share the same amount of time.
And here's the thing about it, that and of course renewable resources is something that mm-hmm. is a hot topic in our world today. But with everybody having the same amount of time in any given day, and it being the great equalizer, it's not renewable.
Nope.
Because we don't have any guarantee of how much time we have.
Mm-mm.
And so knowing that there is a fixed amount of time that we have in our lives, but we don't know what that amount is.
Right.
Should we not be making the absolute most out of that time?
Well, and there's been things too in my life, and I'm sure there's been things in your life where you do them, for an hour or two. Or maybe a certain sin gets in your life and you end up doing that sin, for multiple months, maybe even mm-hmm. years. And then you get towards the end of your life or you get a little bit separated from that sin, maybe a couple years down the road. And you're like, man, I wasted.
Yes.
I wasted so much time.
Yes. And, we know that.
It's almost like throwing it in the trash because you can't get it back.
Right. We look at certain parables, and it is evident that on the day of judgment, let me put it this way, at the very least, it is a possibility that we will have to give account of how, for example, we use our money.
Mm-hmm.
We are accountable for that. But what about our time? I think you look at your, for example, your bank account, and you may say, well, I've got, X amount of dollars in my bank account and I'm not going to have any more until, whenever.
Mm-hmm.
But we look at the calendar and we say, you know what? Tomorrow.
Right.
There's always going to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know that there's always going to be tomorrow.
Right. What happens if there is no tomorrow?
And so redeeming the time because the days are evil.
And one thing too, when people get in their later years, they're getting towards the end of their lives, one of the things that I've heard a lot is, I wish I had more time.
Mm-hmm.
If I could do it over again, I would do this more.
Right.
I would do this.
Right.
I would apply more time to this. I was watching a movie the other day, and there was this guy in it, and he was older, and he hadn't met his wife until later in his life. He had stayed single probably until he's in his 40s. He never met the right woman. And
he was an old man.
Right. He was really old, Keith. 40, yeah, woo, that's old. So he hadn't met his wife till later in his life, and he was nearing his death. He was getting to the end of his life, and he said one of the things, he said if he could do anything over, he would go back, he would find his wife, and he would spend more time with her.
Wow. That's a good starting point.
Yep.
Yep. Our families are always going to be important. No matter what else in life is going mm-hmm. on, our families are going to be important, and God is going to be important.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If we devote our time to those two things, we're not going to regret it.
Nope.
We're not.
I got a good challenge today, Keith. I got a good one.
You got one?
I got a good one.
All right, let's hear it.
Oh, you want to hear it right now?
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
All right. My challenge for you this week is to fill your days. And I mean, I'm talking your whole day with meaningful time.
Meaningful time.
Make your time meaningful. Make your time count.
Okay, so let's... And one thing I enjoy about challenges is trying to make them attainable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the 5-minute challenge that we issued.
Many weeks. Right. That one. My challenge just now was a little bit vague. So let's break it down.
Yeah. Yeah. What if you took a day?
Mm-hmm.
And you can even choose the day.
Right.
Let's say randomly next Tuesday.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on next Tuesday, but let's say you chose next Tuesday and you said, you know what, next Tuesday I am going to make the most out of every minute.
Mm-hmm.
And pick a day, even, a couple of days away so that you could plan.
Right.
You could make arrangements for that day.
Yeah.
and pack as much into that one single day as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And if we set that challenge and we followed through with it, what impact would it have not only on that day, but on our outlook in the future?
Right. And part, a big part of making your time meaningful and making your time count is affecting the lives of others in a positive way. You know, you right. don't make your time, you don't make your time count. You don't make your time meaningful by affecting others in a negative way. So
true.
Let's break it down. Let's try to affect at least one or two people a day for a week in a meaningful way.
Okay.
In a positive way.
All right. If I let you keep going, you're just going to
keep
challenges.
I could go. Yeah.
Yeah. This will be a challenging episode.
This is
sure.
a good. This is a good subject for some challenges.
Okay. Well, we're going to break off of that and move on to our mm-hmm. Next topic. But before we do, Zach, tell us or tell our listeners how to find us and you know where to go.
Well, we have multiple outlets. We are very you can find us a lot of places. We've got a website. It's called letstalkaboutchristianity.com. We've got a lot of material on there, a lot of blog posts, and a lot of articles.
Adding more all the time.
Yes, a lot of random posts. We're adding more stuff to it, too. We're trying to get it more well-rounded.
Right.
We have a Facebook page called Let's Talk About Christianity, a Christian radio program and podcast. We would love for you to get on there and visit it, like it and share it, and follow it, because we post a lot of material on that as well.
Like it and share it.
Yep. Let's see, what else we got? We got emails through our website. Mine is Zach at letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Mine is Keith at letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Yes. And that's pretty. You can find us on iTunes. Maybe you're
iTunes.
Listening to
there,
us on
there's
iTunes.
There's the other one.
That's
yeah.
the big one. That's the big one.
Yeah. I had somebody took a picture of their car radio stereo thing and everything, and they were listening to it on their through their phone, and anyway, our pictures were on the dash of their car. I think
right.
I think
you sent me
yep. that picture with
it. We're at Huntsville, Alabama, wasn't it?
That was pretty cool. Yeah,
yep. That's pretty awesome.
So yeah, we're very portable.
Portable.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but anyway, all right. The clock keeps on ticking here. Go to the website, go to the Facebook page, email us with your questions, your comments,
yep.
Keith or Zach at letstalkaboutchristianity.com. Okay, so this last topic that we're going to get to today, we had more, but this is going to wrap it up, and we may run out of time for it. Okay, I know not everybody's a football fan. I'm getting Zach riled up just by saying that. You know, we're not going to talk about the college football playoff polls this week or anything of that nature.
Mm.
All I want to talk about is one little incident that took place in one little game this past week. And I don't name names. I don't name names. I don't name names for two reasons. Number one, there isn't any point in isolating anybody.
Right.
And number two, and
don't isolate
you're
the fans.
You're going to have to agree with me on this, Zach, whether you like it or not. But whoever your favorite team is, by the way, I don't know that I've even ever told you. Who
you haven't?
I've,
no,
no, I haven't.
No, you haven't.
I have
some guesses though, but no.
You have some guesses, but you know, yes, I'm a big fan, but you know, it's just to me, it's not worth arguing about.
Right.
But here's the thing about it: whoever your favorite football team is, or mm-hmm. basketball, or lacrosse, you know,
or underwater know, basket weaving,
yes,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter whether that team wins or loses on Saturday. Should not affect your Sunday.
No, it's irrelevant in the
yes,
grand scheme
in,
of things.
In the grand scheme of things.
But man,
whatever,
when that happens, it hurts. It hurts.
It does hurt, but
let the hurt last for an hour, maybe.
But in the big picture, it doesn't
right.
matter.
It doesn't matter.
And you know, your life is not going to be significantly impacted. Okay, your life should not be significantly impacted.
Let's not say
if your life is significantly impacted, maybe the next episode needs to be about gambling. But
yes.
you know, and at the end of the day, it really shouldn't matter. But anyway, during this game, there was a couple of players got into a scuffle very early on in the game.
A very questionable call.
And the referees threw a blanket unsportsmanlike conduct call on both teams.
And we've both agreed. We've never seen this.
No, I had never seen that before.
And I'm an avid football, basketball, and even a baseball fan, but we had never seen this ever.
Right. But here's the thing about it. There were players on that team, on both teams, who were not involved in what took place.
Nothing.
So basically what it boiled down to is the referees were sending a warning.
A very stern message.
A very stern message that they were not going to tolerate any nonsense, any extracurricular, you know. And they were sending that message in a way that was not going to be misunderstood.
Nope.
Okay, so let's talk about Christians.
Yes.
How many Christians are there who are sitting back, minding their own business? Yes, they're on the team. They're dressed out. They're there to play. They weren't involved in that conflict or that struggle, but, you know, they were still affected by what somebody else was doing.
Right, and another thing is, too, we could even apply this to even certain congregations. Certain congregations or things of that sort. You know, if you're in a congregation that you know is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, but you're still attending that congregation, you're going to get a blanket.
Okay, I wasn't going there with this, but yes. Here's where I was going with this. If you look at the book of 2 Peter, it's as if 2 Peter... It's as if Peter is reaching into his pocket and pulling that yellow flag out and throwing it into the midst of the church.
Right.
That is
2 Peter 1, verses 10 through 13.
If you look at the entire book of 2 Peter is that kind of warning. But I did want to go to 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Peter says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Now, watch verse 13. "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you."
Wow.
Peter is warning us, don't let your guard down. Take care of yourself as a Christian. Do what you need to do to make sure that your soul is secure. Now, is that a perfect analogy with this blanket? No, it's
but
not.
You can see the relevance.
But if you need a warning, 2 Peter 1 is providing it to you. Be diligent to make your call and your election sure. We're out of time, unfortunately. Again, much more that we could say, would like to say, but unfortunately...
Our 28 minutes feels about like three.
It does, talking about redeeming the time. But thank you so much for listening, and I hope you'll tune in next week.